Beloved friends, we greet you and we welcome you to the study of God's Holy Word and the continued meditation which we have begun from the second epistle of the Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 21. Relative to God's great work of reconciliation, a work that has already been accomplished by His Son on the behalf of the whole world. Once again, we quote the theme text before us that says, God hath made Him, that is Christ, sin for us, Him who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We now will begin to consider three important facts revealed in our verse concerning God the Father. As in our previous message we stated, this would be our first consideration. The first fact in relation to God the Father is this, concerning the sovereignty of God. One of the greatest attributes of God is His sovereignty, which means, being the sovereign ruler of the universe, He can do as He wills. Is there any person who can ever rightfully challenge God? Did not the beloved Apostle Paul write in Romans chapter 9, we quote the verses 19 and 20, who hath resisted His will? O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Unquote. What and who is any man that may dare to defy what God determines to do? In His sovereignty, He will admit no challenge. But let us examine our text. Let us notice God's sovereign action toward and on the behalf of the human race and for its redemption. Now let us face this fact. God was not compelled or responsible to intervene on our behalf in doing this. Very bluntly, you and I, my beloved friend, we deserve to be allowed to go on our way to that eternal hell and destruction which our sins deserve. We would never be able to lay any blame upon God for that. 'Twould be only righteous, 'twould be justice to punish us for our sin. For God is a holy God, hating sin, and also states His judgment upon it because of the holiness of His character. But of our own free will, my friend, we have rebelled against Him. We have strayed away from God. You know that. And we know that it began in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve first chose to believe the lie of Satan. Now please note the first fact we would mention concerning His sovereign action toward us. We read the opening words of the verse. God made Christ sin, is what we read. Now let us take in what the words mean. For God appointed His Son, God ordained that His Son should do the work of reconciliation on the behalf of the human race. The Son of God became the servant of God His Father to do this work. And we believe and we know there was none other person who could do it. Listen to these words. Why did the Son ever come into the world? Let me read the words of John, first epistle of John, chapter 4, verse 14, that tell us, the Father sent the Son, the Savior of the world. The Father sent the Son, the Savior of the world. Now let me ask a question of you. Are you grateful, and am I, that without even asking you, nor me, or any other person, God sovereignly decided and appointed His only begotten Son to come to the earth to be our Savior? He sent His Son to do that work. And note carefully, what the Father appointed for the Son of His love, and it was this, that He should be made sacrificially what we are actually, sin. It was God the Father's will that the Son should be the sacrifice for our sins. Please do not overlook the words that are recorded about that blessed Son in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. When in conversation to the Father regarding coming to the earth, these are His words. Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. Read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 10. That sovereign appointment was willingly accepted by the Son. And you and I should be forever grateful that in His sovereign authority, God the Father appointed His only begotten Son to do the great work upon the cross to be made sin for us. My beloved radio friend, if you never have, I beg that you would take a very earnest gaze by faith, looking upon Christ when He was upon the cross, and acknowledge, if never you have, acknowledge now that in order to save you, God's Son became the sin bearer, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Please let me state again, it was an act of God's sovereignty that He decided to appoint His Son to do that work of redemption. But now there's another revelation of God's sovereignty in our text. By His sovereign action, God now extends to every man, woman, boy, and girl who will receive Christ. He extends to them His own righteousness, the righteousness of God, as you see it in the text. This is another proof and a token of His sovereignty. God declares, if any man, woman, boy, and girl will receive My Son as their Savior, they will receive from Me the righteousness of God. Now what is this, my friend? Can this mean that when I receive Christ, I receive a righteousness which is not mine own, but which is the righteousness of God, perfect, and in His sight, I am righteous before Him? Let me quote the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, when he declared, writing to the believers of that day, of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. Oh, what is this? What kind of righteousness is this? Does not God say in Romans 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one? In myself and in yourself, my son, my friend, you and I are not righteous. But God in His sovereign grace decrees, if you take My Son, if you trust His sacrifice for your sins, you will be made righteous before Me. Now, don't object to it, my friend. It's God in His sovereignty declaring, I will do this. And He knows that you and I never deserve it. But should you and I ever refuse this? God did not ask you, nor did He ask me. If we wanted it, He just went ahead and appointed it. So listen, my unsaved friend. You ought to get down on your knees, if you would, and before such a sovereign God and thank Him. He ever appointed Christ His Son to die for your sins upon the cross, and that through that work of reconciliation, You, if you will receive Christ, will be made righteous in the sight of God. When Jesus comes with trumpet sound, wrote the poet, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Now, the third revelation of God's sovereignty in our text is this. By this appointment of Christ and the offer of a perfect righteousness, God removes the power and the curse of his holy law which condemned us. Now, don't forget that the law which is holy condemns you and me because we have broken that law. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law and to do them. Paul wrote in Galatians 3:10. That holy law condemns every one of us. It can never save us, but Paul writes, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, Galatians 3:13. So take it in, my friend, when I, or when you as a sinner condemned, receive Christ and by faith, place my trust, you place your trust for eternity in his atoning sacrifice, God removes the power and the curse of that holy law, and you and I never had any way of doing it for ourselves, but God says, I will do it for you when you accept my Son as your Savior. Trust his atoning work, my friend. Come and do it today and you'll be able to sing, free from the law, O happy condition, Jesus has died and there is remission. Cursed by the law, bruised by the fall, Christ hath redeemed us once for all. To recapitulate, these three facts concerning God's sovereignty, they lay a solid foundation for the redemptive work that you and I need of Christ. My beloved friend, let us praise and worship God. Even God the Father, that in mercy and loving kindness he appointed his Son to save us. He appointed to give to us his own righteousness, and that he also has appointed to deliver us from the curse and the power of a broken law when we come to him through Christ. My beloved friend, what can we say at the close of this message? But we beseech you, if never you have, be ye reconciled to God. Come to him through Christ. Plead the atoning work of his cross. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for his glory and honor, sanctify thy truth and save precious souls and comfort the saints. Amen.